من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
I gave my word with heart and head to praise Allah till I drop dead. Send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and respect the scholar's ijtihad. For if the scholar makes ijtihad and gets it wrong, he gets one reward. But if he gets it right, he gets two rewards. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, bi khair wa afia. And how are you?
Alhamdulillah, wa ana kadhalik.
Alhamdulillah.
Naam. We are here with Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world, and we are in a summary of Islamic jurisprudence by Sheikh Saleh Fozan. And if you're following along in the PDF file, this is page 282, chapter 9, unit 5, The Inheritance of Daughters. And if you're following along in the printed book, this will be page 265. So, shall we begin?
Yes, Bismillah, Inheritance of Daughters, chapter 9.
Naam, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inheritance of Daughters. The deceased's daughter inherits half of the estate on two conditions. The first condition is that she is the only daughter of the deceased. The second condition is that the deceased does not have a son or sons so that they jointly constitute agnation to the deceased. The evidence is shown in the verse as Allah, the Almighty, says what may mean, Allah instructs you concerning your children, i.e. their portions of inheritance. For the male, what is equal to the share of the two females, but if there are only daughters, two or more, for them is two-thirds of one's estate, and if there is only one, then for her is half. Quran Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 11. The phrase, and if there is only one, implies the condition that she does not inherit half the estate unless she has no sisters from the deceased. And the phrase, for the male, what is equal to the share of the two females, implies the condition that she must have no brothers who are agnate heirs to the deceased. The daughter of a late son of the deceased inherits half the deceased's estate on three conditions. The first condition is the non-existence of a male relative to make her an agnate heir, namely a brother or a son of her paternal uncle, who are of the same level of kinship to the deceased.
And it's important for to say on the same level, because they sometimes they're of an older level, or higher, continue or lower. Go ahead.
No, I'm writing that down.
Higher or lower? We mean like he has a cousin that deceased and left a son. Okay, or an uncle that. Or uncle that's above him, but not knowing children. So then he's not on the same level.
Nah, so for example, so this could be either a brother or a son of her paternal uncle, but this would not include, for example, the grandfather's brother's son, right? So like
that,
second cousin.
It includes the... Oh, you mean the second cousins? No.
Nah. Isn't that what we say? Like, don't they say second cousin twice removed or something like that? What is the twice removed? Can you explain that in the English language?
No, I don't want to diverge at the moment.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, what happens is the second cousin is the cousin's, what do you call it, children.
Ah, okay, gotcha. All right, to continue. The second condition is the non-existence of a participant heir of the deceased, namely a sister or a daughter of her paternal uncle, who is of the same level of kinship to the deceased. The third condition is the non-existence of a descendant heir who is higher than her in level of kinship to the deceased. two daughters or more inherit two-thirds of the estate on two conditions. The first condition, they must be two or more. The second condition is the non-existence of an agnate relative of the deceased, namely, his son. In this regard, Allah, exalted be He, says what may mean, Allah instructs you concerning your children, i.e. their portions of inheritance. For the male, what is equal to the share of the two females, but if there are only daughters, two or more, for them is two-thirds of one's estate. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 11. The phrase, for the male, what is equal to the share of two females, indicates that the non-existence of an agnate male relative is a condition so the daughters can inherit two-thirds. The phrase, but if there are only daughters, two or more, indicates that they must be two or more. Some scholars have mistakenly understood the aforementioned verse and thought that two daughters are not to inherit two-thirds of the estate, and that they must be three daughters or more. This is the opinion adopted by Ibn Abbas. Unlike the majority of scholars who maintain that two daughters or more are to inherit two-thirds of the estate. This is stated in the hadith narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, as saying what may mean. The wife of Sa'ad ibn al-Rabi' went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her two daughters and said, O Messenger of Allah, these are the daughters of Sa'ad ibn al-Rabi' whose father was killed as a martyr when he was with you at the Battle of Uhud. Their paternal uncle has taken all their property, and he has not left anything for them. Thus they will not be married unless they have some property. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah will decide regarding the matter. Then the verse of inheritance was revealed. Therefore, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the uncle of the daughters and said to him, Give the two daughters of Sa'ad two-thirds of the estate, and their mother an eighth, and what remains is yours. Compiled by the five compilers of hadith except An-Nasa'i, and is deemed hasan, good, by At-Tirmidhi.
This hadith, very important that we constantly read this hadith.
The hadith proves that two daughters are to take two-thirds of the estate of the deceased. It is a juristic proof that settles the dispute with regard to this subject and a prophetic explanation of the verse that states what may mean, of the ayah that states what may mean, but if there are only daughters, two or more, for them is two-thirds of one's estate. The hadith is a demonstration of the meaning, the ayah, particularly because the reason for the revelation of this ayah is the story of the two daughters of Sa'ad ibn al-Rabi' and the question of their mother regarding their inheritance. Moreover, when this ayah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ called their uncle in order to give them their share of estate.
This is another proof that you can use the hadith as precedences.
As precedence. What do you mean by precedence?
Okay, in Islam, or in the Kafir law, you have the constitution and then you have the precedences of the law in court, where the case example, case law. Okay?
I see. I understand. Now, as previously stated, some scholars are of the opinion that three or more daughters, not two or more, are to inherit two-thirds of the estate. The reply to this opinion can be through many proofs. Among them is the fact that Allah, exalted be He, has entitled the male to inherit a share equal to that of two females, since a female gets one-third in case there is a male whose degree of agnation is higher, then with greater reason, she gets one-third in case there is a female like her, whose degree is lower. It is a method of pointing out the major by relating it to the minor. Allah, exalted be He, has mentioned the share of one daughter, literally, and that of two daughters by indication. Hence the phrase, two or more, in the aforementioned Quranic ayah, indicates that the prescribed share of daughters does not increase with their number, even if they are more than two, and Allah knows best. The two daughters of the deceased's son are regarded as daughters of the deceased himself as regards to inheritance if the deceased's son is dead. So they are to be given two-thirds, whether they are sisters or cousins, daughters of two sons of the deceased, of the same degree of kinship to the deceased. Two-thirds are to be given to the granddaughters of the deceased by means of analogical deduction, i.e. considering them two daughters of the deceased, provided the three following conditions are fulfilled. 1. They must be two or more daughters. 2. The non-existence of an agnate male heir of the deceased, namely a grandson, son of the deceased's son, whether he is their brother or a cousin of the same degree of kinship to the deceased. 3. The non-existence of an inheriting descendant of the deceased, for such an heir is higher in level of kinship to the deceased, such as a son or a daughter of the deceased, and Allah knows best.
Okay.
That's the end of the chapter.
Yes, yes. So I wanted to say the second cousin, I made a mistake here also. The second cousin is also the grandfather's brother's children. Those are your second cousins as well.
No.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Those are on that whole link. One moment.
Okay.
Okay, let's see if we can do this. Okay, do the next chapter.
Okay. Naam. Chapter 10, Inheritance of Full Sisters. Allah, glorified and exalted be He, has instructed the share of full sisters from the same parents and paternal half-sisters with brothers who are not from the same mother. This is stated in the following ayah at the end of the surah of An-Nisa, women, which may mean, they request from you a legal ruling. Say, Allah gives you a ruling concerning one having neither descendants nor ascendants as heirs. If a man dies, leaving no child but only a sister, she will have half of what he left, and he inherits from her if she dies and has no child. But if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left. If there are both brothers and sisters, the male will have the share of two females. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 176. Allah the Almighty has also defined the inheritance of maternal half-sisters with maternal half-brothers in the following ayah, which may mean, and if a man or woman leaves neither ascendants nor descendants, but has a brother or a sister, then for each one of them is a sixth. But if they are more than two, they share a third. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 12.
Continue.
According to the two ayat mentioned above, the full sister is to be given half of the estate, provided that the following four conditions are fulfilled. The first condition is the non-existence of an agnate relative, namely a full brother. This is according to the ayah, which may mean, if there are both brothers and sisters, the male will have the share of two females. The second condition is the non-existence of a participant heir, namely a full sister, as Allah exalted be He says what may mean, if a man dies, leaving no child but only a sister, she will have half of what he left, and he inherits from her if she dies and has no child. But if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left.
They will share.
Naam. The third condition is the non-existence of ascendant male heirs, namely a father and a paternal grandfather, according to the soundest opinion of scholars with regard to this case. The fourth condition is the non-existence of descendant heirs, namely the son, the grandson by the son, in a descending lineage, the daughter, the granddaughter by the son, however is her father in descending lineage. The evidence of these two conditions, i.e. the third and the fourth, is that brothers and sisters are the heirs in the case of the kalala, which is the case of the deceased having neither descendants nor ascendants as heirs. A paternal half-sister inherits half of the estate on five conditions, four of which are the same conditions that govern the inheritance of a full sister mentioned above, and the fifth condition is the non-existence of a full brother or sister. This is because they are stronger in their degree of kinship than the paternal half-sister. Two or more full sisters are to inherit two-thirds, as stated in the Quranic ayah, which may mean, but if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left. However, there are four conditions that must be fulfilled so that they can inherit the two-thirds. The first condition, they should be two or more, according to the ayah, which may mean, but if there are two sisters or more. The second condition, the non-existence of an agnate relative, an agnate male relative to them, namely one or more full brothers, as Allah exalted be He says what may mean, if there are both brothers and sisters, the male will have the share of two females. The third condition, the non-existence of descendant heirs, who are the children and grandchildren by the sons, as Allah the Almighty says what may mean, if a man dies, leaving no child but only a sister, she will have half of what he left. And then Allah says what may mean, but if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left. The fourth condition, the non-existence of male ascendant heirs, who is the father, according to the consensus of Muslim scholars. The male ascendant heir in this case may also be the paternal grandfather, according to the soundest opinion in this regard. Two paternal half-sisters or more are to inherit two-thirds, as there is a consensus that the ayah regarding the kalala is applicable to them. That's ijma', right, Sheikh? A consensus.
Yes, but we have to make sure that there is consensus on there. Sometimes people claim consensus and there's not. Continue.
Okay. Two paternal half-sisters or more are to inherit two-thirds, as there is a consensus that the ayah regarding the kalala is applicable to them. If a man dies, leaving no child but only a sister, she will have half of what he left, and he inherits from her if she dies and has no child. But if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left. Quran, Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 176.
So hold on. So what happens a lot of times here is this is where it comes into a fitna. What happens now when you have two wives and you have multiple daughters from both wives, and they say, "Hey, we're not fraternal half sisters. We're full sisters. Both are going to claim to be full sisters, right?"
If they're by different wives but by the same father,
they're different wives and the same father. To each other, they're full-blooded. They're full brother and sister, right? With male having both full mother and father, right? Same mother and father.
But they're different mothers. How can that be?
No, you missed it.
Yeah, I missed it.
I said you have four daughters.
Okay.
Two from one mother, two from another.
Okay.
To each other, they are going to be full brother, full mother, full sisters, right?
Not if it's different mothers, or am I missing something? Is it something cultural I'm missing?
No, you're missing something, yes. I said there's four women. Two of them are from one mother, and two of them are from another mother. In the two groups, they're going to be considered half-sisters, right? Because they have the same father, different mothers, right?
Yes, sir.
But to each other, they're going to be considered full sisters because they have the same mother and father, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when you come to the issue, when you have two paternal half-sisters or more,
okay,
are to inherit two-thirds, as there is a consensus that this ayah regarding the kalala is applicable to them. Okay? So when they say, okay, Okay, you get my point now?
So the two half-sisters collectively get two-thirds, and that leaves the full sister with one-third.
But no, who's the full sister? How you get my point? Now you go to the fifth condition, is the non-existence of full sisters. They
I
are
see.
full sisters there, okay? They're full sisters and there's half sisters.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's when you run into the problem because all are going to claim to be full sisters. Hey, we ain't no half sisters. They're the half, unless there's a divorce, you know?
Yeah, I see.
Continue.
Nah. However, they are not to be given the two-thirds unless they fulfill five conditions. The first four conditions are the same, like the previously mentioned conditions regarding the inheritance of full sisters. The fifth condition is the non-existence of full sisters or full brothers. Hence, if there is one or more full sister or brother, the paternal half-sisters are not to inherit two-thirds. They are to be
Okay,
excluded
now
from the
look, you see that?
inheritance.
Okay, now look. That's when you run into an issue. The non-existence of full sisters. Then they exclude the half-sisters.
Right.
Okay, but who's the half-sister? And who's the full sister? When you have multiple wives, daughters from each one.
Right.
Continue.
No. They are to be excluded from the inheritance by the existence of a full brother or two full sisters unless they have an agnate relative. However, if it's only one full sister, the paternal half sister is to be given one sixth to complete the two thirds. I see. In case there is only a daughter and one or more granddaughters by the son, the daughter is to take a half, and the granddaughters by the son is to take one sixth as the remainder of the two thirds. This was the verdict of Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, in such a case, as he said, what may mean, this was the verdict of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this regard, compiled by Al-Bukhari. The reason for this is that there are more than one daughter for the deceased, and hence they are entitled to two-thirds, according to the ayah in which Allah exalted be He says what may mean, but if there are two sisters or more, they will have two-thirds of what he left. The daughter is given a half because she's higher in level of kinship, and one-sixth is left for the granddaughter of the son as the remainder of the two-thirds, provided that the following two conditions are fulfilled. The first condition, the non-existence of an agnate relative to her, namely a grandson by a son, who is equal to her in the level of kinship, whether he is her brother or a male cousin, son of a paternal uncle of hers. The second condition, the non-existence of a descendant heir who is higher than her in the level of kinship, except the daughter of the deceased, who inherits a half, as the granddaughter never takes one-sixth except with the daughter. In case there is a paternal half-sister with the full sister, the former takes one-sixth as a remainder of the two-thirds, according to the consensus of scholars as stated by more than one scholar. This is according to the analogical deduction, the qiyas, by comparing this case to the case of the granddaughter by the son and the daughter. However, the paternal half-sister is not to take one-sixth unless two conditions are fulfilled. The first condition is that she must have only one full sister who inherits a half as a prescribed share. If, however, there are many full sisters, they exclude the paternal half sister as they together take the two thirds, leaving nothing for her. The second condition is the absence of an agnate relative of hers, who in this case is her brother. If she has a brother, then she and her brother, are to inherit the remainder by virtue of agnation, after the full sister receives her share. This remainder will be divided between them on the basis that a male is to receive the share of two females, and Allah knows best. That's the end
Okay,
of the
so what
chapter.
happened? Right. So again, the issue is who is the half sister and who is the full sister? And that's always a big issue because one blocks out the other one. And they're all going to claim, no, we're full sisters. You the half sister. Okay?
Nah.
So in that case, what I do is I give them all the two-thirds. I make the, all the females here and share in the two-thirds. You understand?
Nam, is it up to the Qadi's choice in that regard?
Yep. It's up to the Qadi. When you have an issue that is confusing like this, okay? You say, because what do you call it? Man jana fan Musa na ithman fa ahsan alayh, fala ithma alayh. So Allah tells us in the Quran, whoever tries to make it work, tries to fix it so that everybody gets something, then there's no sin on him, okay?
What was that hadith, Shaykh? Can you say it again? I want to write that down.
It's not a hadith. It's an ayah from Quran.
Oh.
Surah Al-Baqarah. One second, let me find it. Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا أَوْ إِثْمًا فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Okay? So whoever fears that is going to be some problems and some injustice going to be done, right? So he fixes the wasiyah so that it represents what he sees it to be proper. فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ, and he rectifies the situation between them, then there's no sin upon him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. It's ayah 182. You could look up the tafsir, okay?
No, inshallah.
Shaykh, what does muwassil mean? In a way, it's muwassil.
What does muwassil? Oh, okay. Man khafa min musin. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but yes, sir. In Ruwais, it's muwassil.
Same root word in here. And from what I understand it to be is that some type of confusion so that it makes it like someone's not being cheated. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Another way I remember one of my sheikhs explaining it is that someone coming and feeling that they're not getting their rightful share, and he can see that it looks something like that, so he sets it up so that everybody gets something. Okay.
Yes.
Sheikh, is that Mulsin? I thought Mulsin was the one making the wasiyah.
Yeah, well, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the wasiyah.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood.
You know, we're talking about the whole breakdown of the wasiyah and the fara'id, that how he's the one that is the executor of the estate. All right? And now he's got to make sure that the money and the wealth is distributed fairly. And he runs into, a situation like this where all the children are claiming to be, the full-blooded ones, and the other ones are the half-blooded ones. How does he deal with that situation? Okay? So he rectifies it by giving them, just including them all, instead of having them agnate one another. Then he gives them the two-thirds. And everybody walks away with something. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Sheikh, who do you recommend, for those of us in the United States, who do you recommend we find as an executor if we can't find anyone to do that for us?
What do you mean you can't find somebody? You should have some friends, right?
Yes, sir. But I started to ask my friends, and Some friends just said, I'm not familiar with that. I don't want to get involved in your family.
This is one of the reasons why this is the most, the first, first laws are going to be forgotten, because people don't want to do them. People don't want to get involved. Okay? You're proving the point. And other point is that people don't know what to do, you know? So that's another major problem. I don't know what to say to you, Achi, except for try to find somebody that you can trust to do it. Not try, but find someone. There's an obligation upon you. Okay?
Nah, I'll keep looking. It surprised me when he said that. So I didn't know if there was some organization or something that you would recommend. But I'll keep looking though.
Nah, I wouldn't. I don't know anyone to suggest. Okay?
Okay.
Anyway.
Alhamdulillah. Chapter 11.
No, we're gonna stop here.
Oh, okay.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Alhamdulillah. Well, this has been a short lesson, but it's been a good one. But let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then speaking for what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Back to the graph, the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.